You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is a modern word, I think, and I know plenty of people that say boobies.
But just to give you a really easy way to start researching what's happening in your school.
Well, what is hurting us right now, economically, are statements, false statements.
It was summer, you know, was wearing what I usually wear. I didn't feel like that was being disrespectful.
I heart boobies.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, and remember,
I heart boobies.
Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and where truth is our bitch. That's right. That's right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. This is the only show of its kind anywhere in the history of the world. We take you through the looking glass to the truth itself. The right arm of the Phil Hendry Show is our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Live streaming video of the show right now, as well as live streaming audio of the show, as well as archives, our news feed, and all of the other features, including podcasts that are delivered via iTunes or others, or right from our website, that you can enjoy our five-day video videocasts on demand. And as I mentioned, just thousands and thousands of hours of archived radio, the best radio show in the world. I say that with all due respect, but then a lot of people agree with it. 877-876-PHIL is our number here this evening as we continue with David Casanova from Casanova Ministries. And we're talking with him tonight about a controversial doctrine, I have to say, David, in many ways. I know that you're not the Pope and you're not you don't consider yourself Jesus, but aren't you sort of changing? And don't answer that question right away, because I've got a better question. But you can include an answer, but it seems as if you're changing doctrine a little bit. But let me just get to what I want to say here.
All right.
You said that sex with a woman that you don't want to sleep with is a holy thing. You mentioned that sex, if it is engaged in the name of God, is a healing thing, and a young man starts out a date with a young woman by being honest with her. If she doesn't look good, he should volunteer, "You don't look good tonight."
That is correct, yeah. And the reason why we started talking about that is because I'd had a question in our young men's ministry on our Saturday school. I had a question from a young man who said, "You know, Reverend David, I am expected. I think we're all expected to say to a young lady when we meet, when we see her for the first time on a date, 'You look nice tonight. You look nice tonight.'" Well, he was very and he was very earnest and very honest in this question. I don't know if I'm being honest or not. I don't even know if I should tell a young lady that or not. I don't know if it makes her think that I am not very smart or that I just want one thing. You know, I said, look, the best thing to do is to volunteer that she doesn't look good. Don't tell her she looks good, because you're right. A lot of young women will just think you're saying something they hear all the time. But instead, volunteer that she doesn't look good. And I brought up the example of my wife. I told you, I told that lady I wasn't married. I wasn't married in my career. I am married, Phil.
And right. You're not. Your wife is Jennifer?
No, my wife is Charlene.
Oh, okay.
And my wife, when I first went out with her, the very first thing out of my mouth when I went to pick her up that night, and I'll never forget the night, was that this was going to be tough. I said, we're going to have a problem here. And she looked around. She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "This is just..." I said, "The way you look, but," I said, "you're going to look better and better as the night goes on." She goes, "Oh, if you have more to drink?" I said, no, not at all. No, I said, sober, through the, you know, grace of the Holy Spirit. And she said, "You're Christian." I said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "And you and I together tonight can overcome what has happened here. And that is, I've come to pick you up, and you don't look good at all. But I said, by the end of the evening, it's going to be okay." And so...
And you wound up marrying her.
That is correct, Bill. And we've been married now 16 years.
16 years.
16 years. And she works with me in the ministry. She's my best friend, and I love her very much. And we have two beautiful sons, and all of that is the result of me saying to her, "You are going to be hard on my vision tonight." But by the end of that night, we were engaged in a very physical thing that we did, and I'm not going to go into it, but it was real physical. But she said, "Yeah, I'll be a Christian." So to me,
she said, "Yeah, I'll be a Christian."
No, she didn't say it like that. I said, "Do you accept Jesus Christ in your?" And I made a joke because of something that I was doing, but she said, "Yes, I do," and we laughed about it. But she was very earnest in it.
Well, when you just said that, what you said right there,
I know people misunderstand that, Phil.
No, that seemed so disrespectful.
I apologize. I shouldn't have brought that up, but it was.
It really did.
I understand that. I apologize.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. When you met your wife, you didn't meet her at like the Desert Gold Exchange or something, did you?
Desert Gold Exchange is one of your sponsors, right?
Yeah, I mean, those are guys that they deal in precious metals. But your wife sounds like a very precious girl to be with you.
She is a very precious girl. I could have met her at the Desert Gold Exchange, as precious as she is. But no, I did not.
No, Gold Exchange deals in precious metals. But like I said, precious people. Your wife sounds like one of them. 877-876-PHIL is our number here.
I take that as a compliment, Phil.
Well, it is a compliment to her. Let's go over to a phone call. Here is Anita in Boston. Anita, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. First of all,
hi.
Why, if you're a preacher, what's your name, David?
My name is David Casanova. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Okay. Why would you insult an elderly widow who is telling you that her husband died? Why would you say he probably ran off? Why would you do that if you're a preacher and a man of God?
Because she was about ego. She was leaning on God and using God because she really felt she was the center of the truth.
So shouldn't you try to persuade her to see your point of view instead of insulting her?
I did. I showed her ego. I mirrored her ego back to her. And sometimes people need that.
Okay. And number two, you are a womanizer. I can tell that from the first second that I heard you. And you are ridiculous. You are an embarrassment
to
anyone who's a Christian.
Well,
go ahead.
And you're God. So you're God, too, I take it. Well, it's nice to meet you, God. I just talked to God last hour. His name was Debbie then. Now
really?
It's
wow. But
yes.
See, you know what? Can you let me talk, please?
See, I got you. I got
can you.
Can you
let me talk, please?
No, because everything you say is you call me a name. You don't really make an argument.
I haven't called you one name. Can I talk now?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You said I'm a womanizer.
Okay, so just let
you call
know.
Me a liar.
It's a fact. I wasn't insulting you.
You call
that's,
me
that's
a...
the truth. Okay,
no,
so you just let me know when I can talk.
Anymore...
Stop interrupting me. Just let me know.
I will. I'll let you know. Now, Phil.
Okay, well, hurry it up.
Say to Anita,
will you hurry up, please?
No. See, all this woman can do is call me names, because that's what she does with men.
But the
she's
lady
got an
was
issue
telling
with
you
her
earlier.
Father. She's got, wait a minute. Could you? I thought you told me that I could talk. Yeah.
Okay. The lady earlier was
she's
telling
got a,
you.
She has an issue. She has an issue with her father.
And, oh, come on.
Okay.
What were you
lady
saying,
earlier,
Anita? Go ahead.
Thank you.
You
the lady
gonna,
earlier.
Will you let Anita talk?
She lied. She said I could talk.
Okay. The lady earlier was telling you shame on you,
you
and
lie.
Saying. Okay. Can you just please
oh,
seriously?
Did you lie?
And about the comments and the stuff that you were making, and then
what did I say?
Phil here tells you that you're being disrespectful, and you apologize. That's why I can tell that you're a womanizer, because anything that the man tells you, that's okay. But if a woman tells you it, we're lies. We're calling you names, and I just don't understand.
I guess you do understand because your issues with men are at the very core of it. See,
okay, you can insult me all you want.
I can't comment on. Oh, wait, now I'm insulting you. No, it's truth. Remember, truth? It's not insult, it's truth. Now,
okay.
If you have an issue with a man, that's all right, that's okay. But don't blame David Casanova, because I said to my wife
why
one day, you're hard on my vision. It's
do
my
you
last name, it's
Casanova?
A family name. It's a family name, man.
All right, Anita, now you're getting ridiculous. Is there anything else you want to say? Is that it? All right, 877-876-PHIL. I take it that is your family name, right?
Yeah, it is my family name. And that woman there, boy, was she begging for it.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, I can tell a woman who,
So hates what?
She's all She just didn't shut up. I do have one problem. God help me for this, Phil, and I hope Jesus will help me with it, too. I got a problem. I watch a lot of specials on Ted Bundy. I think it's a problem. I don't want to kill anyone, but I always, for some reason, I'll watch these specials on Ted Bundy, and I'll stand up, and I can give an example. All right. Do you hear what I did?
You're applauding?
I do. I applaud.
At the end of Ted Bundy specials.
Yes, I do. And I know it's wrong, and I know that I have to work that out. But that woman there that I just talked to, see, now that other woman who thought she was Jesus Christ walking on water because her husband died, and then another one, forgive me.
Do you want to take a couple of minutes?
I'd appreciate it, yeah.
All right, David. David Casanova with us, 877. That is his last name. It's an Italian last name. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with David Casanova and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Phil, they got to you, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, she. I don't let women get to me.
Well, that last lady got to you.
Well, she. I think she got to you, didn't she?
No, I mean, I didn't like her saying Casanova. Is that really your last name? But
yeah, see that. So she was bothering you.
She wasn't bothering me as much. You were getting really irate with her. But to say that you applaud Ted Bundy documentaries, you know.
I said there are. There are times when I will watch one of these documentaries on one of the news channels. You mentioned Investigation Discovery, and I will see a documentary about a man who has been evil to women, evil. And I find myself almost unconsciously standing up at the end as the credits are rolling. Phil, let me put the phone down.
No, I know what you're going to do.
Hold on. Credits roll. Outstanding. And I don't know why I do that.
Well, you have some issues. And do you feel that it is right for you to be advising young people on their dating habits?
I think so, Phil, yeah.
On saying to a girl at the beginning of a date, you don't look good at all, but you're going to look better. And at the end of the evening, if they're having sex together, that this is a some kind of in the name of God thing?
Well, Phil, do you think that when a man has sex with a woman that he truly is not attracted to, don't you think that is a sacrificial act?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, I do not. No.
Well, you and I have a difference of opinion, but I feel that it is very much a selfless act.
And well, what about a woman that has sex with a man she doesn't find attractive?
That's different because women don't care about a man's looks. They care more about his personality. So a man can look like like the thing from the lagoon or however they put it, and a woman can fall in love with a man who's got one eye. But a man's not going to fall in love with a woman that looks like the thing from the lagoon. And that's the thing you need to learn. That's what Jesus tells us. In the gospel, Jesus will talk about a man and a woman and how the two of them are from a different, there's a whole other paradigm, you know. And if she looks like she's the thing from the lagoon, that's not good. If he does. So a man can have sex with a woman, and if he can't stand it, it is very much done in the grace of the Holy Spirit.
877-876-PHIL. Yeah, but that goes against what you said earlier, that they're going to become closer and tighter as the evening goes on. In Chico, California, here is Rebecca listening to us on KZAP. Hello, Rebecca. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted you to know I am a Christian woman, and if a man came to pick me up for a date and told me I didn't look good, that would be the end of the date right there. There is no need to spend time with someone that's that superficial and lacking manners. That's very bad manners. It's inconsiderate and it's unkind. Why would the woman want to go out with the guy after he said that? I don't think most women would.
Well, because he's had the courage to say to her, it doesn't matter, I want to go out with you anyway, because I want to put you at ease, that your looks don't, you know, you don't look good, but that doesn't make any difference to me.
Well, if it didn't, he wouldn't have to bring it up, would he? If he's that shallow, he doesn't even want to get to know her. He notices that she doesn't look quite good enough for him.
That's a good point.
Well, no. It's on the surface, it looks like a good point. But let me say this. He says it so that they can break that traditional mold that young men and young women are forced into when they're dating. So now that he's got it out there that she's going to be tough to look at, the rest of the night becomes an adventure in, you know, Christian renewal.
Yes, and then I think she should take the time to inform him how ungood-looking he is and how it's, you know, please keep the lights down low because I can't stand to look at you. You're so ugly. I think she should just tell him what she thinks of his looks, too, then.
Well, that wouldn't be true.
And then
it wouldn't
be reacting because his ego would be so hurt.
No, that wouldn't be true, though, because she's just saying that to get back at him.
Oh, no, there's ugly men.
See?
There's a lot of ugly men out there.
Yeah, but he might not be ugly. He might be good-looking.
Well, when I say ugly men, I'm talking about what's inside. What's inside their head and what's inside their mind, like you, for instance.
Well, ma'am,
desperate, they're going to go out with somebody that says they're not good-looking? That's crazy.
No, ma'am, that's not what I'm talking about, ma'am. What I'm talking about is I went out with my wife, and the first thing I said to her was she was going to be hard on my vision.
Well, maybe she has low self-esteem.
No, I don't think so.
Sounds like it's
me. We've been married 16 years. Well, are you going to insult a woman that's not even here to defend herself?
Well,
I mean, you're saying what you're saying here, Dave. You're saying that she, when you went out with her, you said to her, you're going to be hard on my vision for the rest of the night.
That's what I said, yeah. Well, this lady is saying that she's got no self-esteem.
She's drawing a conclusion based upon what you have said to us.
The fact that she went out with her, you know. She doesn't like herself.
Well, see, Rebecca is like that other lady I talked to.
Oh, no, now you're judging and putting me in a category. Now, you don't like it when people do that to you.
What? I never said I didn't like it when people do it to me.
Yeah, when that one lady called you a womanizer, you didn't like that, did you?
Well, it's not true. It's not. I'm not a womanizer. Have I hit on you? Have I hit on you? I mean, if I wanted to turn on the charm, I would.
I wouldn't have anything to do with somebody as twisted as you are.
If I wanted to turn on the charm, I would, but I'm not going to do that because I'm a married man.
Would you come out like a cow to turn on the charm?
Well, do you?
Is that foreplay?
Well, I don't know. Do you? What do you look like?
I've never been told that.
Wait a minute. This is not what I call a Christian conversation we're having here.
Well, I think it is, Phil, because see the way she laughs right there. Remember what I told you about seeing an Edwin Kemper documentary?
What are you saying?
I want to ask this lady. Do you know who Edwin Kemper is?
I don't think so.
All right. Can I give you a hint?
Yeah.
Two heads in the trunk of his car.
Okay, he's a serial killer. He's a serial killer, Rebecca.
Right.
Okay.
And, Rebecca, the way you're talking to me, when I see an Edwin Kemper documentary on TV, this is what I do at the end of it. Yeah. Great. Okay.
That's weird, man.
She just laughed.
Of course she's laughing.
I think that what we have tonight is I tried to lay some Christian truth on people, and I got three women in a row that laughed at me. And
I just think it's really unbelievable that
What's unbelievable about me wanting to...
Oh, your whole crock that you thought up. You're not a minister.
I'm a Christian minister who is attempting to rip away... Forget it.
He hung up. He hung up, Rebecca. All right.
I just want to say one thing.
I thought you hung up.
No, I haven't. But is Rebecca there?
Yes, I'm there.
Is she there?
Yeah.
You know that there's a shuttle leaving in 5 minutes for the new wing on the Hell Sheraton?
On the what?
On the Hell Sheraton.
Oh.
Will you get out of here? Thanks very much, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. The guy sees an Edwin Kemper documentary and goes, we'll be back on the world. Thank you very much to David Casanova, Reverend Casanova. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, here.
Phil Henry.
Yeah.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, and, okay, I got Reverend Casanova. Yes, sir?
Phil, you had the number on that Desert Gold Exchange.
Yeah, were you thinking of trading your wife in there?
No, I'm not, Phil. I recognize I've got a very good wife, and I recognize she is a precious person. But I'm looking to take a look at some precious metals and some gold.
All right, it's
888-852-4343. And that's called a desert.
That's a Desert Gold Exchange.
Yeah, they have a website, right?
They got a website, dgegold.com.
Because I can tell you that what that woman did, I got to do something.
So many weird things. You know, the guy that took the Discovery Channel hostage, this guy's got a manifesto, too. I just wanted to say one thing about these manifestos, that if you're a nut and you want to take somebody hostage or you want to do something because you want to explain to the world how we got it all wrong and you're a genius, do yourself a big favor, man. Make it really short. Make it a slogan. Don't make it a big three-page, boring, insane, psychotic, rambling tome. Turn it into something that, you know, we can use, man, like a real quick slogan, like babies must die. If that's what this guy was talking about.
He thought that babies ought to die.
No, I didn't think babies ought to die. I just didn't think people should be born.
That's what I was hearing. This man, James J. Lee, shot and killed by police at the end of a tense hostage standoff. Now, this manifesto, which I took a look at, it's the same garbage like that Joe Stack.
Joe Stack is, you shouldn't say that.
Oh, get out of here. Joe Stack was a maniac, too. You want to know something, man? He wasn't a maniac. I remember talking to Dr. Stone about that guy, Joe Stack, and he said to me, you know, Joe Stack had legitimate concerns. He had legitimate beefs. He had a legitimate gripe. Okay, so you got a legitimate gripe. You know, the world is not a place that is necessarily a fair place. Everybody's getting screwed at one time or another. Somebody is taking it in the shorts. At one time or another. Would you agree?
Yeah. But what, are you supposed to bend over and take it?
No, you're not supposed to bend over and take it, but, my friend, sooner or later, you either accept things as they are or you change them for the better, but killing yourself and another innocent human being in the process is not changing anything. All that is being mad. I'm just going to be mad. And we've had it with people that are just angry and things ain't changing fast enough for their asses, so they want to take somebody hostage or they want to go and kill somebody. Well, guess what, man? That ain't the way it works. You're going to die. Nobody is going to care what you got to say once you go down that road. No one. I can't even find this guy's jackass treatise. Not that it, you know, is going to be anything that's coherent. That's why I say, and I'll never forget when Joe Stack flew his plane into that building. Oh my God, they had a Facebook page for this guy, and some of the stupidest human beings that you ever in your life could imagine were weighing in on that page. Dumb as dirt. And so all of those people dissipated because Joe Stack, it turns out, no one gives a crap. You want to know why? Because Joe Stack couldn't write a manifesto any better than he could probably fly an airplane.
Well, he flew it on purpose in a building.
We don't know that.
No, he did, okay.
No, what if it was an accident or something?
Are you... You're nuts.
He's kidding. So he writes this thing that nobody wants to read. No one can make head nor tail out of it. No one cares. Yeah, he made a lot of sense. He's going to make a lot of sense to anybody that doesn't like paying taxes. He's going to make a lot of sense to anybody that just, you know, that just doesn't like a lot of stuff. Day in and day out, they don't like stuff. Every day, morning, noon, and night, there's something they don't like, you know. Sure, yeah, he makes a lot of sense. Him and three other nuts, they all understand each other. But anyway, if you want to do that, don't go the Joe Stack route or this James Lee route, man. You gotta, or even the Adolf Hitler route, because I was saying during our pre-show, Mein Kampf, that was another manifesto. And he wrote that in prison. See, Hitler, he was far, far cooler, and he was far more, you know, the times were right for good old Adolf. Things couldn't have been more perfect for him, man. He was sitting there in prison, he was watching Germany go to hell in a handcart, and he was thinking, as soon as I get out, oh yeah, you know. By the way, remember that thing about him liking Mercedes?
Yeah.
I was reading a thing, he did, he had 10. He had 10 Mercedes. He loved that car. And he did ask Mercedes if they would give him the advance of a certain stipend of cash. In other words, defray the payments on a Mercedes. He loved a Mercedes so much, and he wanted to have a Mercedes to tour Germany after he got out of prison and begin his campaigning. And Mercedes said yes. And so from that day forward, Mercedes-Benz and Uncle Adolf, man, they were tight.
Oh, they were best friends, huh?
Oh, yeah, real good friends, real tight. And he wound up, Hitler wound up owning 10, 12 of these things. I say things. Obviously, he knew a good car when he saw one. And so that was just, that's a side thing. But here's the thing. You write a manifesto, and people go, wow, this really makes a lot of sense. Does it really make a lot of sense, really? You know, Mein Kampf had sold more copies than the Bible. Everybody knows this. It's a famous story that Mein Kampf sold more copies than the Bible in Germany. All right. Now, if you read that thing today, I'm telling you, if you got out of the third grade, it stuns you how stupid it is. I mean, from the beginning to the end, it's nothing but an imbecile talking nonsense. From beginning to end, it's an idiot talking nonsense. Everything from his understanding of history, to his understanding of culture, to his understanding of the human race, to his own understanding of warfare and which countries were ripe for the pickings. Now you flash forward to Joe Stack. There's another jackass. Or this guy Lee, another jackass. You're far better off doing something that Adolf did master, and that's the slogan, man, you know.
Didn't he say one day at a time?
Are you nuts or something, man? Alcoholics Anonymous.
What do you mean, one day at a time?
Who said that?
Alcoholics Anonymous.
No, that was Hitler.
No, it wasn't Hitler.
Man, you must be dumber than you look, man. Have you ever known about Alcoholics Anonymous?
What?
Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah.
What do you mean Hitler came up with one day at a time?
But what did he do? What was the one that he did say? I know, keep it simple. Keep it simple, stupid.
That's AA, man.
Yeah, that's AA. What are you getting AA, man?
Oh, I was thinking SA.
Get out of here with the SA. Didn't Hitler say one day at a time?
Probably did.
Maybe. I heard he made one hell of a good salsa, but that's not what we're talking about here. So anyway, so if you're going to make a manifesto, if you're going to tell people how everything, and you know that you're going to, look at this. I just launched the camera again. Can you believe this? Hold on. I know I'm on the air, folks. I apologize, but my camera, this is the funniest thing that's been going on here since the show started, really. And that is that I get doing the show so physically that my video camera for the show, for the live streaming video, falls off of the stand that it's on. And this is the second time.
That's because you're belting the table with everything.
I did. I hit the table with some papers because you're pissing me off. I apologize, folks. Second time that's done. That will not happen again. All right, but in any event, you know what I'm talking about. So if you're going to come up with a manifesto about anything, make sure that's readable. And the best thing to do is keep it to a phrase of no more than 6 or 7 words.
Yeah, but don't say one day at a time.
Yeah, don't use one day at a time because Hitler came up with that one. Just ask Bud.
I didn't know.
Man, that you will forever be known as that, how dumb you is.
How dumb I is, yeah. God, man.
How dumb you are, but you are. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So that's the story there. By the way, another story that we wanted to tell you about that is... I wouldn't put this in the Adolf Hitler or the Joe Stack or the James Lee category, but Ed Schultz said he could easily get a rally as big as Glenn Beck's. So I...
Boy, that's nuts.
Yeah, that's... So we're going to talk about that, because if Glenn Beck, if Ed Schultz can get a rally as big as Glenn Beck's, then I ought to be able to get a rally as big as Ed Schultz's.
Well, going to be probably about 10 people.
Yeah, like I said, I could get a rally as big as his. All right, 877-876-PHIL. So Glenn Beck takes on, or rather Ed Schultz takes on Glenn Beck. We'll tell you what they're belching about or bickering. Plus, senior chat with Harvey Weierman still to come later on tonight as Harvey discusses his new book, When Will the Lying Ever End? It's the world-famous, not-to-be-missed Phil Henry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
Nothing here, man. There's nothing here, man. You know, I'm asked in the studio, I says, well, does it say how this Lee guy was killed? Oh, yeah, the story says it all. No, and I even before I read the story, I said to them, I know for a fact that the story won't have that information because the news, as it is reported these days, is so lousy. There's nothing in this story that says how this guy was taken by police. Now, I've got audio, but if for whatever reason I was up against it, I couldn't play the audio. Once again, I've got another story here that's got nothing in it about how anything happened. The same thing is true with that Brewer debate with that other guy. Oh, yeah, she made crap out of the first few minutes. Really? What happened? Oh, well, we're not going to tell you in the news story. Well, how the hell am I going to find out then, man? So there's nothing in this worthless news story that I got sent that tells me anything about this guy. So I have to rely now on audio. And I, by the way, I'll give you money that the audio isn't complete either. This is all I'm telling you guys. Well, the reason why I'm saying this is because of the following thing. News doesn't get reported anymore. They tell you something really sexy in the headline. You go to read it. They don't give you any particulars. They just make sure that you keep reading. Hey, this discovery all clear. The guy was shot. The cops did the do. And you read this thing, and all you do is at the end of it, curse the Washington Post and the producer that sent it to you. Because once again, you got sent a story with nothing in it. All right, so anyway, without the benefit of knowing what happened, because this story won't tell me, Montgomery County Police Chief J. Thomas Manger spoke with ABC News, and they're always a font of information, about the emotional state of James J. Lee during the standoff.
We had been negotiating with this man for the better part of 4 hours, and I would characterize his demeanor as angry and wide range of emotions, but we'd gotten to the point where we were talking to him. Our goal was primarily to get the hostages out safe. If we were able to accomplish that, we would then move toward having him surrender peacefully.
Chief Manger says they always knew what was happening between Lee and the hostages.
We were watching the entire group, he and the hostages from a security camera, and we could see them. We had SWAT officers right on the other side of the wall from where he was. Now, he didn't know that, but there was an immediate action team. The folks who were watching the camera said that they thought the hostages were beginning to move. And at one point, where the suspect's talking to us on the phone, now his attention is diverted to the hostages.
All right, now Chief Manger explains why the officers entered the room and wound up killing Lee.
He shouts something, and then the officers hear a pop. Now, whether this was him firing off a round out of his weapon or whether it was him trying to detonate the device on his body, we don't know yet. But at that instant, my folks came around the corner, confronted him. Now, at this point, the hostages are running. We confront him. He turns toward my officers. The gun is out, and that's when they shoot him.
You know, these cops, they have no idea what's going to happen. They don't know if that guy pulls some kind of a detonation cord or whatever triggers that device, that he doesn't go up, and there's a whole bunch of dead cops on top of that. I remember an incident in Miami when I was in Miami back in the 90s. Two police officers, a hostage situation. They entered the home, and they didn't quite know that it was hostage just yet. All they knew is that they had a very irate man in a house, and there was a woman and a young girl in there. And as they entered the house, and they came around the corner, the girl bolted and got away from this man who I think was her father, and they saw a man standing there with a gasoline bomb. And boom, these two Miami cops. The miracle is that these men survived. They were badly scarred, and I don't believe that the two men remained on the force. But here's two guys answering a call, a domestic violence call. They walk around the corner, and here is some freaking lunatic with a gasoline bomb, a petrol bomb, kills himself and almost kills two cops. It was a miracle the kid and the wife got out of there. So you really don't know. I mean, you can be as trained as all hell, man. You can have every kind of training that's available to a police officer, but there's no protection, none whatsoever. And they got around the corner and they wasted that guy. Good riddance to bad rubbish. But if the guy had somehow detonated that bomb, you got some dead cops and maybe dead hostages, even though they had, by his description, they'd already taken off running. So, it's a thankless job, but I personally thanked them. I don't know if it'll do any good.
Yeah, well, they can't hear you. They're in Washington.
I know, but I'm just, well, we're in Washington.
Yeah, we're in Washington.
So thank you, Washington Police, Montgomery County Police.
They still might not hear you because they may not listen to the show.
Thank you very much, bud. That's great. Thanks. That's good thinking.
Yeah, really good thinking, man.
Well.
877. Let me just say hi to President Obama tonight. Oh, you know what? He may not be listening to the show.
Yeah, he's probably not listening. He's probably sawing logs.
Sawing logs, huh? Well, I guess he is. It's 3 a.m. All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. They're probably not listening. Well, you're right, man. So, you know, all's well that doesn't end well. All right, now, moving on to, because I promised you tonight, we're talking about guys that are nuts. Ed Schultz, I'm kidding, Ed. You're probably a good guy. I don't know much about Ed. I told you, I saw him at a radio thing back east back in 97. Anyway, Ed Schultz said, I could easily throw a rally as big as Glenn Beck's. Glenn Beck actually had a really good line that he threw back at at Ed Schultz on this. Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor rally in D.C. on Saturday appears to have thrown a lot of people into a tizzy of speculation over what it all means. By some appearances, it also stirred a bit of an ego battle among fellow cable news anchors. On his radio show Tuesday, Ed Schultz says what Glenn Beck did is no big deal. He can organize his own rally, and he could be even more successful.
I could get every union head in this country.
You could give every...
Organize every progressive group in this country. The main bloggers. This could be the Ed March. Folks, 300,000 people on the heels of 6 months promotion, that ain't no big shakes. 6 months promotion... NBC News says 300,000 people. I bet I could do that. I bet I could do that with this radio show and my TV show in 6 months production, 6 months promotion. If I had the budget, I could equal.
If I had the budget,
I know I could.
If I had the budget,
I could do more than 300,000. It ain't a big deal.
In other words, you ain't going to do it because you just threw that little caveat in. But I don't have the budget, so you just put it off on the network, huh? Anyway, here is Glenn Beck's rejoinder.
By the way, the thing on Ed Schultz said that he,
yes,
he could draw 300,000 people at the mall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ed, just a quick personal note. First, why don't you try to draw 300,000, you know, in the demo?
And in the, just to turn on their TV.
And then you get back to us in the mall. That's good.
On a related note, MSNBC's Bill Press and Lawrence O'Donnell also downplay the attendance of the Beck rally, saying that it's easy to get a bunch of people to the area.
You know, I have to tell you, I'll give them credit for getting a big crowd. Look, they pumped this. They pimped this on Fox News for about a year. There were more than 80,000 people there, I believe. I don't know. I'm the counter. I'd give them 100,000 anyhow. And I think it shows the power of Fox News to attract that many people. Look,
oh, shut up. He kicked ass. Quit sounding like a bunch of old ladies.
Phil Hendry.